Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Raw Rundown here on Inside the Ropes. My name is Kenny McIntosh, joined as always when we talk about Raw by David J. McCutcheon. Talking about Raw becomes more of a chore each and every single week since this superstar shake-up, or as it is to us, superstar shaft-up. Am I right?
Yeah, that well, my shaft is certainly not up and standing at attention after this fucking debacle,
Kenny. I like what you did there.
Yeah. There is no salute. There is no three thumbs up, if you will, Kenny, when it comes to Monday Night Raw as of late.
No, I would concur with that. So we are going to talk about it, and David said this on Twitter to somebody. You know, we have to analyze this shit this week. We can't really let it go. Just for our own sanity, we're not going to go through every single segment like we usually do, but we will go through.
Right. But there's shit that they're doing that's just so bad.
And there's one thing they're doing that's so bad that I love it more than anything else on television right now. It's so good. We will get to it.
We shall.
So before we do, we were also going to talk about the CM Punk trial with Dr. Aman and all that kind of stuff. So, but I feel like I should just very quickly tell the story about Vince the Dog and get it out of the way.
Yeah, get it out of the way.
If anybody follows me on Twitter or anything, you'll see that on Friday last week, I got a dog. I've wanted a dog for years, and I've kind of been like, oh, you know, when's the time? And I got this wee dog, Vince, and he is the cutest wee dog, he's the best wee dude, and when I got him, he couldn't even climb up a stair, but by Saturday, he was bounding up there like a show horse. On Saturday night, I was trying to, like, get him to sleep on the floor and stuff. So, like, he would last till, like, 6 a.m. and then as a wee treat, I'd bring him up onto the bed. David, he spooned me.
Oh, what a buddy.
So it's all going well. And then on Sunday night, I started trying to look at my travel for a lot of the stuff that I'm going to do in the next couple of months. And it was working out that he was going to be away. Like, so for example, June and July. He needs to be with somebody one night this weekend, then I come back, then I'm back for a week, then I'm away for 4 days, then I'm back for 5 days, then I'm away for 7 days, then I'm back for 7 days, then I'm away for 8 days. And it just got to the point, I was kind of like, well, for me, that's fine. Like, it doesn't really bother me, but it's not really fair on the dog.
And
I was kind of like, oh, but you know, I don't want to, am I being selfish? And so anyway...
Then trying to find a dog sitter for that many days, it becomes very costly.
Well, I mean, I'm quite lucky because all the June and July, I had friends and people who were going to do it. So it doesn't sit right with me that he's having to be. Because also, the other thing is when he's at home, I'm here 24/7, so it's a very intense period of time with me. And then away. And he's too young. Yeah. So and then I even started training him. I've got him doing sits and he can come to his name and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, long story short, I knew I was getting very attached to him and I had to make a decision, yay or nay. And I decided that the best thing would be for me to not keep him because he would just have a better life elsewhere because I'm not around as much as I need to be. And you know, for anyone who's thinking, well, you should have known that before you got a dog, I'm very well aware, and I'm eating that humble pie. Nobody will be able to make me feel any worse than I do about it. But anyway, so I decided I'm going to...
Well, the other thing, too, is like, you always think of things in theory, but then in practice, little details that you didn't previously think of pop up, and you go, oh, shit, you know, there's this, that, and the other, and it's stuff that even though you were thinking, you know, oh, well, I've got... I've got two bases covered, but then there's three bases that you didn't think of. And then once it becomes reality, you start realizing things and you go, oh, man, that's rough.
So I'm
willing to give you a pass with that, Kenny. However, if you're anything like my aunt who's had like four dogs and then given all four of them up, at that point, I will slap you in the dick and say, bad Kenny, that's a bad Kenny.
Yeah, and I feel like I've learned that a bit. So what happened was, it got to... So we're recording this on Wednesday night. Monday night, I was kind of like, I'm going to sleep on it, and then I'm going to make my decision in the morning. And I got up on Tuesday morning, and I just had this gut. I was like, if I keep him, I'm being selfish. I'm keeping him for my own reasons, but he should have a better home that somebody could be around all the time. So anyway... So then I called the breeder, who was a cunt, and refused to take him back. So that was lovely, which you're not supposed to do, except if you're a breeder, and somebody hands you £650, 5 days later you're supposed to at least offer them some assistance, which she did not do because she is an arsehole. So
And another thing too, another lesson for you learn, never go to a fucking breeder.
there you go, right?
Yeah.
And so then I'm kind of sitting there going, okay, what I'll do, I'll put an ad on Gumtree. Gumtree's like the UK Craigslist, or sorry,
Sure,
Craigslist.
sure, sure.
And
Craig.
Craig, which is not a real name, it's not hard to, Craig. Anyway,
Well, if you ask me, neither of them are real names. Sorry,
this
Craigs
is not the
out there.
time. This is not the time to die on this hill, dude. So I put the ad up, and then at first I put on, okay, I put all the information about him, and then I said, okay, I'll just put the amount of money I paid for him. And then about 10 minutes later, my mum and I were talking, and I just don't feel right about putting him on a site and getting money for him, and did, so I basically changed the ad to being for free. I
Yeah.
can have him for free. I just want him to go to the best possible home. So this story does take a bit of a positive upswing here, by the way. I know you're probably thinking it's going to self-harm in a second. So I'd like, this is Tuesday night, and I'd sort of say, right, okay, I've got about another 24 hours left in me where I can hold it together, and he needs to go because I'm getting too attached. So I put this ad up, and then I'm sitting watching the Howard Stern episode of the David Letterman show on Netflix, and I get a couple of text messages start coming through about the dog. I thought I'd reply to them and finish the show, and then I get a phone call from a number I don't know, and it was this lovely man called Jim from Edinburgh, and he said, "Oh, hey, I just saw your ad on Gumtree, and it kind of seems too good to be true. He seems like a lovely wee pup, and it's free." And so, yeah, I said, "The thing is, I want to go to the best home possible. That's what it's all about, more than me getting my money back. That doesn't really matter." So anyway, we had a chat for about 15 minutes, and he had said that he had had some illnesses. He'd been in for surgeries, and now he was going to be working from home for the foreseeable future. And he said that he didn't have as much money as he'd like to have, but which is why my ad apparently was like this kind of saving grace, because it wasn't going to cost him to get the dog, but he had already had an 8 month puppy called Indy, and he was he, the sentence that he said that made me go with him undoubtedly was, he said, I've got this puppy Indy, and she's 8 months old, and I'm looking for a lifelong companion for her." I was like, well,
Oh, that's
there
great.
you go. So that's Vince. So this is like 11 o'clock last night, and
Yeah.
so t terms are set essentially. Now at this point, I've got 17 other text messages from different people wanting
Yeah,
this
I
dog.
believe it. Yeah. Because Vince, what a sweet boy, right?
Oh, he's the best. He is the best. So he so this Jim guy's on the phone to me, and I said, "Look, I'd rather have Vince go to you sooner rather than later, because I'm at the end of my sort of like being able to give him up thing." So this is like 11 o'clock at night, and I said, "Look, do you want to come get Vince in the morning? That's fine." And he was like, "I mean, do you want me to come now?" And I kind of looked at the clock and I went, "Would you mind?" And he said, "No." He said, "No, 100%. So he drove through from Edinburgh, an hour away. And arrived at 1 a.m. And because I knew I was starting to get a little bit emotional about it. I was like, I need to, if there's a way to have Vince go to his new home quicker, it would help me a little bit. So anyway, he comes over, and it's all great, and I pack up everything that I bought for him, bowls, beds, blankets, everything in some bags. I said, "Look, you take all this stuff. If you don't need it, it's fine, but just I can't have it right now." So I give all that to him. And then I thought, I was like, I'm good. I've handled the situation. I've not broken down. I've been totally good. And then one thing happened, and I've never had to hold back getting emotional more, ever. So, obviously, when I got Vincent Friday, we conquered the stairs together, right? We conquered going
Sure.
up and down stairs. So by the Saturday, he was fine. So as we had Vince all ready to go last night, Jim had said, "Well, do you want to walk him down to the car? Have a last wee walk with him, and you're his kind of parent right now, so he's going to trust you more." So yeah, that's fine. So the Jim goes down the stairs, and as I've walked down about seven stairs, I noticed the leash hasn't moved, and the dog didn't want to go down one stair. Because it's like he knew what was happening. And yeah. he looked at me, and I just kind of had to be like, no, no. anyway, we got him down to the car, and then we put him in the car, and then I said, you know, can you let me know how he's getting on? And he's already sent me two pictures today. He's been playing, he's been happy, he's got parks out there and stuff like that. So he's doing great. I am devastated and heartbroken, but I've learned my lesson.
I will say this, Kenny. I am a big proponent of cats and dogs having another cat or another dog to be around. And I understand a lot of people can't have two dogs. I get it. So, you know, no judgment from me. But the idea of someone being able to have two dogs, that way they do have that sense of companionship whenever a human being is not around. That's always a good thing. I know that my cats, they're biological sisters. And since I travel a lot for business and, you know, everything like that, I'm not always around. But them being able to have another cat around, it does a lot for their mood, you know? So I think that's that's a happy ending to a story that could have been a lot more sad.
Yeah, well, my mom didn't help by when she came over earlier on yesterday after work. She just burst into tears at the door because she was like, this is the last time I'm going to see Vince. And I was like, you're not helping, Fiona. You are not helping here. I fucking love that dog.
It's good on you to not accept any money for him. I think that's good. I would have done the same exact thing in that scenario.
But you know, Ollie, our YouTube manager and co-host of the Pod of Thunder, which we'll talk about in a minute, he said something to me last night. I don't really buy into this kind of stuff a lot, but for the purposes of this, I'm going to buy into it. And he said, well, you know, look at it this way. Maybe you were meant to get Vince and it wasn't meant to work, so you could then give Vince as a gift to this guy who his year's been made and now his puppy has another puppy to play with. So yeah, I'm choosing to think of it that way. That's my way of thinking.
I was going to say, that, think of it as a charitable act. There you go.
So
yeah. That is the proper way to handle it, though, is to eat the cost, and you just provided both Vince and that guy with a loving family. So there you go.
And my last moment of sort of emotional doggy parenthood was I came into the house tonight, and the one thing I'd left up was the crate, because the crate was too big for the guy's car. The crate had a towel in it, and I did that really creepy thing where I smelled the towel. Yeah. It smelled of the dog. Tragic. So, but yeah.
It's a lot more creepy whenever you do it and it's a person, though, right? It's like, it smells like him. You're like, what the fuck?
But, no, it's really embarrassing, the whole thing, because I should have known better. And I didn't. So, but the other thing is, just to bring it back to listeners so that they can all feel guilty on behalf of me, it was one of those things of I'd have to cut back on some inside the rope stuff. That would be silly.
Right.
So, yeah, all's well that ends well, apart from my heart, which is broken. So, but
I'll tell you whose heart's not broken, Kenny. CM Punk's heart is not broken on this fine day.
Do you know, I am like, I know on like these podcasts, I'm probably the biggest WWE, you know, backer, you know. And you know what, to be brutally honest, I actually really needed to watch Raw this week to kind of take my mind off what was going on.
Sure.
So, like, even when it's terrible, it's like, Constable Corbin, yes please. Slice of that. even me, I was like, I'm a big WWE guy, but my God, I hope Punk wins.
Yeah,
it was the right thing to do. It was the right thing for him to win, and I'm glad he did. And so would because you had a lot of thoughts on it. It carries a bigger reach, really, doesn't it? About what the verdict means.
Right. I mean, it was a victory for freedom of speech, and especially with podcasting, is something that pertains to me and you both. This was a big victory for podcasting in general. It was bullshit that Colt Cabana was even brought up on any type of charge whatsoever with this in the lawsuit, because he was just a conduit for it, right? It was Punk's words, but Colt was just the conduit for it. He was the platform in which the words could be spoken. So the idea that someone could even come after Colt Cabana for that was just scary, I guess, in a word. And so the jury completely sided with rational decision making and decided that Colt nor Punk should be held accountable for this. I guess it would be what they would call on the streets a bitch fight. It was two grown men that were slinging poo at each other, and it went to court. And apparently the judge was none too happy that it went to court. Very short fuse on the temper of the judge, who felt that this was a waste of time for everyone, because it was essentially just a little grudge match and a little slap fight back and forth between Punk and Dr. Amon, the WWE's doctor, who is WWE funded in this court case. Am I correct in saying that?
You're never going to get me to give you a yes or no answer on that on a podcast. But the what I will say is Ryan Sassen over at Pro Wrestling Sheet has indicated that that it may be funded by WWE. For more information, do Google Pro Wrestling Sheet.
Well, you'll never get me in
there. See what I did there?
Yeah, yes, and you will never get me endorsing Ryan Satin. So
I want to yin and yang
going on this podcast.
I want to start a thing where, like, I just like keep like throwing bones to Ryan Satin of like, get David to come on board with you. What will it take? Like, what will eventually he crack? You know, like, what's like Satin's like, hey David, we want you to be the interviewer on Pro Wrestling Sheet. You can interview Okada, and you're like, fuck you, and your autopsy call bullshit. And then he's like, hey.
Go dumpster diving outside of hospitals, you fucking twat.
And then Satin goes, oh, I was going to fly you first class to Wrestle Kingdom front row. Ryan, I'm all yours.
My integrity cannot be bought for less than $10,000.
Canadian. the Punk and Amon lawsuit is pretty interesting. So what I found quite fascinated about is Punk still has to pay his legal fees and Amon still has to pay his. So Punk didn't get, like, he won in the sense that WWE did not win, but he still had to spend this money. So
he was the defendant. This was a petty fight from Dr. Amon and possibly WWE, according to Ryan Satin. So this was a petty fight that they used against Punk to distract him from his UFC fight, which I think is either this weekend or next weekend.
It's this Saturday, the same day as Dominion.
Jesus Christ, man. So, like, they use that against him as a way to distract from his fight, as a way to drain his pocketbook, all as a personal vendetta. And I think that is petty and, quite frankly, gross. I am not the biggest CM Punk fan in the world. You will not hear me clamoring to have CM Punk back. CM Punk leaving brought us the best moment in recent WWE history with Daniel Bryan winning the title. He would have never been in that position if Punk hadn't left. So I am happy that Punk left. And I hope he stays away for the benefit of everyone from the WWE. I think that it would be wise for everyone to just cut their losses and for him to never return. So I am not the world's biggest CM Punk fan as a person. As a professional wrestler, I think he's very good. But as a person, yeah, I would prefer to keep my distance from him and for him, both for his sanity and WWE's, to stay as far back as possible. Now, my question to you, Kenny, is do you think we find him at all in now with this as a further measuring stick to stick it to the WWE.
Before I answer that, I do want to say one thing, just based on what you were saying, which is something I think a lot of people, maybe they do know it, they don't know it, is that I think that what this all comes down to, I don't even think this lawsuit is really the problem. I think what it's always going to come back to is that Vince McMahon has always played these games with talent because he sees everything as fair game. And yes. He, it's almost like he thinks that, like, whatever you're doing, even when you've fallen out, you're just building to the return. You know, that's what you're doing. And when he sent Punk the release thing and made sure it arrived on his wedding day,
that
I think is where, because I think a lot of wrestlers, you could use that whole, like, well, you know, he'll be angry for 5 years, then you build to the return, blah, blah. I just don't think Punk's that kind of guy. I think he's a very different wired person. So I'm not trying to excuse what WWE have done, but I'm saying I think that in some ways they're doing something that they have done before and it has yielded really big positive returns in the end. I just don't think this is going to be one of the times. Like, I can't see a scenario where he ever goes back to that company.
No. Like, no. Everyone always cites Bret Hart and this and that. Bret Hart's legacy mattered to Bret Hart.
But also, you got to remember, Bret Hart was already backstage at a WWF show in April of 99 at the Calgary Superdome. Like,
right.
Bret was, and by 2002, him and, you know, like, the Bret thing was, you always kind of knew Bret would do something eventually. Like, you figured it was going to happen. But I think with Punk, it's like, you know, and he broke down when the verdict was given out and stuff. And I'm glad he fought it, and you know, he was either going to have to pay the money to fight this and hope that it I mean, because I from what I read in the notes, there was like five witnesses that he had a lump, and including his like massage therapist, and then the prosecution were arguing that there wasn't a lump. So if all these people were arguing there is one, then I don't really know how your case is fought. And then there was one point where like there's communication in the headsets that Punk had a concussion, and then Kane put him through a table.
Yeah.
And this is like 2014, so that didn't really make him look too good either.
No.
But your question was, do I think he's going to end up all in? My answer is no. Because
my answer is yes.
I think they're all cleverer than that. I think he might show up, like, you know, to do a cameo or something, but I don't think it's going to be insubstantial. Yes. Because I think they sold out that whole thing on their own. And I don't think they want they don't want the attachment to CM Punk, but I don't think they need it. And I think you'd be better putting your eggs into All In 2 for him.
That's where you and I both agree, but we see it differently. I think CM Punk will show up and build to an angle 1 year later at All In 2. And that will be the return of CM Punk to a wrestling ring. Because this will more than likely be his last UFC fight. I think we can all agree on that.
Here's another element to it. So say, for example, you put aside the FedEx on the Wednesday and you put aside the lawsuit. Right? You put all that stuff aside. But the lawsuit also has taken place over a time where he is having to adjust his training for a UFC fight. If he loses that fight, it's just another further fuel in the fire of him not wanting to win. But what I'll say is, Triple H, Paul Levesque, I know he listens to this podcast every week.
Of course.
With the dogs. He has it on his Apple podcast as he walks around Stanford. But if you can get Punk back in, give him keys to the mothership at that point. If he can do that, then, you know, fair play. But because the thing that people always think, you talk about is, well, you know, it'll be fine once Triple H takes over. And it's like, but the problem is, Punk had more of an issue with Triple H and Stephanie than he did with Vince.
Yes, yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of the people, too, who always point to the Bret Hart thing and go, well, Bret came back. I think a lot of those fans are younger, so they don't really know the intricacies of the Bret Hart situation, like someone, say, you and I would, or anyone older than us, like a Finn or a Dave Meltzer or a Brian Alvarez or, you know, any one of that nature. who has like, who like grew up with that and chronicled it on a week to week basis. Bret Hart was my favorite wrestler, Kenny. I fucking knew that shit like the back of my hand, practically. I knew how Bret was motivated. Bret was very cynical in a way. I love Bret Hart. He's my favorite of all time. Met him, he was just a tremendous man. But he is very self-centered, and he very much cared about his legacy. And he was smart enough to know that his legacy would be buried and he would be forgotten about unless he greased those elbows again. And ultimately, he decided that was a price that he was willing to pay in order to do that and remain a prevalent part of WWF and WWE history. So ultimately, that was his Achilles heel, was that he cared about his legacy.
I would argue,
and I don't think Punk is going to fall into that.
The one thing I would argue in another way, and again, I'm not trying to, I'm not trying to approve of all stuff that's happened, but you know, I think Punk said in the podcast was Colt Cabana that Vince was in tears when he was leaving, and I think that was genuine. I think Vince genuinely was very upset that he was leaving, didn't want him to go, and all that kind of stuff. But the thing with Bret that people got to remember is Vince called Bret when he had the stroke, and Vince, you know, came, and I think that's what really got Bret around, was that, you know, in spite of all the stuff that happened between them, Vince was there, and I think Vince would be there for Punk. Vince McMahon is the strangest human being alive. He really is. You can't really explain him. But like, I think there is elements to him that's a really good person, and then there's elements that are a very different person. So, if CM Punk ended up down his luck, would Vince help him? I think he would.
I know he would. But ultimately, I also feel that CM Punk would reject any offer for help because he's a very different guy, man. He's a different cat entirely. He's wired differently. He's very headstrong. If you guys who are listening think that I am stubborn or Kenny is stubborn, you clearly have not seen CM Punk as a measuring stick in which to judge us on. Because that guy is the most stubborn person I think I've ever seen.
But you know what? And I actually think the CM Punk is a really good example of a very kind of like, you know, sympathy, hippie speechy or whatever, but if you think you're worth more, go be worth more. You know, yeah. like people, oh, he should have just been happy that he was WWE champion. Fuck that. He wanted the main event WrestleMania. That was the thing he wanted to do. That was his goal.
That's the reason that the WWE sucks right now, Kenny, is that everybody is just complacent and happy, regardless of where they are on the goddamn card. People need to show more gall, Kenny.
Yep. People, you know, now everybody just points to things and that's really it. But I think Punk was like I think Punk's got one of the most fascinating stories of anybody. I remember somebody came up to me, one of the shows, live shows in the last kind of 6 months. I can't remember where it was, but, and he said, what was CM Punk? And I was like, say, for example, in an ulterior universe where CM Punk was up for doing it, because if he was up for doing it, do you really think I would have pursued that by now?
Right.
He would not want to come and talk about wrestling for 2 hours, which is what everybody would want him to do.
Yes.
So if I can't deliver what you would want from him, why would I come and deliver a disappointment to you?
Right. I mean, the reality is, if you did a tour with CM Punk, and we're not hinting at that right now, guys, so please don't misconstrue my words. But if you were to do a tour with CM Punk right now, he would talk about his MMA career. He would talk about Marvel Comics. He would talk about his interest, hockey, baseball. He would talk about those things instead of wrestling. And everyone would walk away going, yeah, that was good, but I really wanted to hear more about the backstage bullshit with WWE and blah, blah, blah.
Wait a minute. I think I've somewhat... So are you saying that when CM Punk is asked to talk about wrestling, it's like if I'm asked to talk about what culture?
Imagine, Kenny, on your wedding day, if what culture sent you a termination notice.
Do you know what I would do if they did? I would say, can we just halt the wedding proceedings for 5 minutes? And, you know, so, which means that Diana Ross would have 5 minutes to compose herself. And
of course.
And I'd go and I'd I'd take a big old shit and I would smear as much of that shit on the notice and I would send it back. And
the ultimate signature.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, yeah, I mean, I guess that's what we say. But I, overall, for CM Punk, I think he will do. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions to kind of finish off the contract.
Yeah.
What do you think percentage wise, 100 being likely, 0 being not, percentage wise, that CM Punk will ever appear on WWE television again?
Ever appear or ever wrestle? Appear. Two very different things.
Okay, well, let's wrestle first. Wrestle. Do you think he'll ever wrestle for WWE again, percentage wise?
Two 2%.
And how about appearance?
10%. I think it's a long shot, and it's not betting odds whatsoever. And if he does, it will be whenever he is an old man and we are long dead, Kenny, because we're not in the shape that CM Punk is.
Speak for yourself. Now, did you see my tweet from earlier on about when all right, okay, so I went to this beer garden earlier on to talk to a friend of mine, and we were sitting chatting, and I wore like a vest, right? And because it's hot, it's for whatever reason it's hot in Scotland once in a fucking blue moon. And I'm wearing this vest and I've got my shorts on and stuff. And I go and meet him in this beer garden. And the bouncer, the security guard, comes over looking very serious. And he just leans into me and whispers and says, "Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to leave." And I was like, "What?" And he said, "Yeah, we only accept guns in here that are less than 15 inches. So you're going to have to leave." And I nearly shat myself. But I'm just saying. Before we move on, though, so that the CM Punk thing, anything else you want to say to summarize?
I think that we will see CM Punk at All In. That's my big prediction here. Voice of Wrestling prediction, not wrestling, obviously, but setting up the sequel. If you're gonna do a sequel, you gotta have a big bang. You gotta have a big moment to carry that momentum. Cody is a smart guy. He gets it from his dad. He knows that you got to start building to the next year immediately after the first year has been a financial success. You got to keep the ball rolling. I think that Punk will want to give the old Austin two middle finger salute to the WWE one last time. And I think that if he does show up at All In and alludes to a match at All In 2, that it will officially start a war with the WWE and they will come out guns blazing.
Before we talk about Raw, would you care to talk a little bit about the newest podcast coming to the Patreon subscription this coming Friday? It is the Pod of Thunder with Oliver Osatian and the Kayfabe Jobber, because apparently we're not allowed to call him by his regular name. We have to call him the Kayfabe Jobber. Okay.
Got to build that brand. It's all about branding, Kenny. You don't get it because you're not a marketing genius like me who worked in PR for 13 years. You just don't get it, Kenny. It's all about building that brand and building that name that becomes synonymous with you. You wouldn't understand it with this hokey, rinky-dink, inside the ropes, air quotations, gimmick that you got going on, brother.
Are you done?
But I understand the kayfabe jobber. I understand what he's aiming for. And he's my good, close, personal friend. I'm the voice of wrestling, and he's the kayfabe jobber. What is so hard to understand about this, Kenny? Are you some kind of slow person? I've seen you drive. I know how you are.
I don't even have a license, pal.
They took it away. I mean,
yeah, well, you can only think you're playing Die Hard Trilogy in a car for so long before.
Big pop.
I still, like, there is very rarely a noise that makes me laugh more than the killing civilians noise when you're playing the car. Playing Die Hard Trilogy. it was so good.
You need that as a ringtone every time somebody text messages you. Yeah. You get it.
Sometimes I just play it and kill civilians. That's what it says about me. tell people about the Pod of Thunder that's coming. It's going to be coming to the $5 level. Easy for me to say, $5 level on Patreon. Explain what it is, the concept, and the hosts behind it, David. I'm throwing this one to you.
The Pod of Thunder is going to be a weekly recap from the beginning to the end of WCW Thunder, which was the SmackDown for WCW, for all you kids that are too young to remember it. So it was essentially like the B show for WCW. It didn't necessarily start that way, but it quickly became the B show. And by the end, it was fucking abhorrent. It was absolutely dreadful. So these guys have got some work cut out for them. This show debuted right at the peak of WCW, right before WCW started going downhill in terms of quality and ratings. So they basically spread themselves too thin by adding Thunder. So this is going to be Car Crash TV, reviewed by two of the funniest guys that I have ever heard, who have a natural chemistry. Like, if you listen to these guys, Ollie is so Scottish, and you're going to love the dynamic that him and the kayfabe jobber, who speaks a more clear English. He speaks English gooder than I can, and it's not even his native tongue. And I hate that. That drives me nuts. I hate him. I envy him. He's so handsome.
He sits being bald as well, which is really problematic.
Yeah, I fucking hate him, Kenny. He's so delightful. I wish I were that delightful as the kayfabe jobber.
Dude, we're actually on Friday. We're actually going to put a double bill, first two episodes. And on the set, I don't want to give it away what it is. I know you've not heard the second episode yet, David. But basically. So I was walking back from the gym as I'm listening to this second episode, and there is a dramatic reading that had me in tears.
Oh,
tears,
God.
Laughing. And it's worth the wait. So that's an episode two. But every week...
These guys have a natural chemistry, though. Like, I was actually shocked by it. You sent the first episode to me, and you were like, listen to this and tell me what you think. And I put it on, and even like I am a businessman first and foremost, Kenny. I've been very successful in my life, and I'm very grateful for that. But I have an ear for talent, and I have a way of talking to people, as people have well understood by listening to this over the years. And the second I heard the two of them interacting, I felt like I was in the room with them, which is what we always try to convey here on the Raw Rundown. And that is how you know you have something good and you're on to something that works and you're on to something that will be successful. This is the type of stuff that if I were a enterprising businessman, I would put money into this show succeeding. I am all in on the Pod of Thunder. I think it's hilarious. You guys have to check it out. And this isn't me just selling this to you. This is me talking to you person to person. I loved it, and I am recommending this the way that people recommend Something to Wrestle With or one of their other favorite podcasts, the Jim Ross Report. This is up there for me. This is going to be a weekly listen for me while I work, and it's not because I do stuff at Inside the Ropes. Even if I was still I was one of the first paid VIPs, Kenny, for Inside the Ropes before we even had Patreon. So you know I put my money where my mouth is. You personally know that because I have given you my money personally. This is something I would pay for.
And you know, they know what I'm like, and like I'm very like, you can tell me something a million times, but unless I have it in front of me, I can't process it. So they went and recorded a pilot without me knowing, and they sent me the pilot, and they were like, listen, just listen to it and see what you think. And I went in and I, like, they were like, be honest and whatever. And I opened like a notepad and I was like, okay, they want me to be honest. I'm going to be honest. And I looked at the clock and I was an hour in and I didn't have one note of criticism.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things. Yeah, it's fun. The thing about it is Ollie was a WWF fan. So we never got Thunder in the UK. So he's never seen it. The kayfabe jobber, AKA Asda, the kayfabe jobber
Kayfabe jobber! God damn it, Kenny!
Started watching WWE.
Don't kill the fucking gimmick. He's doing work for you. Jesus fuck.
If I need to say this fucking name every week, I'm doing work for him. And the Kayfabe jobber, he started watching WWE in the early 2000s. So they're both... Whereas the retro Raw Rundown is me revisiting a childhood thing and Sondra watching it for the first time, this is these two guys going back and seeing this for the first time. And it is batshit crazy. From week one where Bret Hart shits himself because he doesn't know he has pyro, it continues to get better.
And I will say, my wife was present for an episode of Thunder. It's not on the network yet, but it'll get there. And she sat very close. It may have even been like front row. I think it was front row, and along the guardrail. And at the very end of the show, the final sign off, it's like Mike Tenay saying, "All right, good night, everybody. We'll see you next week." And someone throws a beer at Bill Goldberg, misses, and hits my wife instead. So the final words of that episode are Val going, "Son of a bitch!" really loud across TBS superstations or TNT. It was TBS. So whenever we get to that episode, we should we should recruit Val to come on and review that episode with those guys.
Oh yeah, 100%. And then what we're also going to do as a bonus here, since we like to give stuff away here Inside the Ropes, is Ollie and the Jobber are going
KJ
to...
KJ Jobber! God! KJ! What up, KJ?
Ollie and the Kayfabe Jobby are going to... also review the pay-per-views. So what we're going to do is all of the other Inside the Ropes co-hosts, myself, David, Sondra and Finn, we're all going to come in and review them with him. So I'll be on Sold Out, David will be on Super Brawl, Sondra will be on Uncensored, Finn will be on Spring Stampede. And my favourite thing is, though, when you listen to this, these two are, they do not hold back with stories and whatever. And in April, they're going to have to try their shit with Finn Martin, and I cannot wait to hear... Because they're just going to retreat into their wee pusses and just not and be very respectful. And I can't wait. It's going to be so good.
It will be a good time. And yeah, we will be dropping by to review some pay-per-views, which I'm ecstatic about. You know me, I love WCW. So getting the chance to relive some of the fucking horrible pay-per-views that they've got coming up. I'm excited, man. It's going to be good.
So... the last thing we're going to do today is talk about some of the stuff on Raw. We're not going to talk about all of it. Like, there was a tag match with Roman and Seth against Elias and Jinder.
Fuck me. Ugh.
God. Ugh. It was bad.
This Raw regressed from last week, which says something.
So then, who knew that we were going to get one of the most glorious things in the history of WWE? Because, first of all, we have Kurt Hawkins come out, and he looks like he's going to beat a jobber. He's offered free tackles to everyone at ringside if he wins.
That's how you knew he was not going to win, though. They were not going to give fucking tacos away to everybody.
Also, they had like 46 tacos.
Right. Right, 46 tacos for fucking 20,000 people or whatever? No, fuck off.
So, as Kurt Hawkins is about to get the victory over this jobber, of course, Baron Corbin comes out, smiling, hits the end of days on the jobber, which means the jobber gets the DQ win. Hawkins is still a loser. I did pop for it, I've got to admit.
It was kind of funny.
And then after the match, Kurt Hawkins tries to go after Baron Corbin. Does not really go very well for him because Corbin just smashes him, dumps tackles on him, and that's it. But Kurt Angle's backstage and Corbin shows up and Angle's, you know, asks him, what was that all about? And Corbin complained about his lack of opportunities on Raw, and he went directly to Stephanie McMahon, and Corbin then handed a statement to Kurt Angle from Stephanie, who made an appointment. Which means every week on this show, we have to announce this the proper way. We got the debut here of Constable Corbin.
Constable
That is now the official Inside the Ropes theme tune for Constable Corbin. I needed this week, David, because, like, I know you probably hate this because I know you hate Baron Corbin, but, like, when the words were uttered that he's the new Constable of Raw and we're going to get Constable Corbin, I never knew I needed this in my life. I
don't hate this as much as you would imagine, because he's sort of like corporate Kane's emo child, and I kind of understand it. Like, I want him off my TV regardless, but if this is the role in which he has to be on my TV, I'm okay with it, and it's nice to have some reprieve from Stephanie McMahon for a while.
That's true, and also if this ends up with Baron Corbin wearing a hat. Because there's so many questions we have. Is he going to wear a hat? Does he have a badge? Does he have jurisdiction over everybody? Like, there's a lot of questions, David, that need to be answered.
I'm really hoping that he comes out with a clipboard and just starts making lists, and he's all like, the office won't like this.
Imagine if he comes out with a wee flask. Oh, God. There's so much I want. The thing about Baron Corbin is Baron Corbin is absolutely tremendous. Coming across like a kind of almost like a superstar heel that doesn't give a shit. The problem is he's not really been presented as that for the most part, and he's not really in ring at the stage he would need to be that as a main eventer, but he carries himself well for the majority.
I think his potential here is to be like the tattletale at Recess, right? So. And in that role, I think he could really be successful. So, kind of holding out hopes on this, Kenny. I'm hoping it goes somewhere funny.
I think it's safe to say that Constable Corbin will be better than Bobby Lashley, Sami Zayn, and Bayley Sasha combined.
Oh fuck! Okay. New point. Since we're going there, this will be a little bit freeform and a little bit structured. Is Sami Zayn versus Bobby Lashley the worst feud of 2018, Kenny?
See, I was thinking of this the other day because, right, so the two contenders in WWE are this and Bayley and Sasha, right?
Yeah, I would say it's between those two. Some people would say Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, but that isn't going on in 2018. That's going on for the whole fucking decade.
Do you know, I actually think that Bayley and Sasha probably has to be the worst, and the only reason I say it is because think about the unadulterated joy that we had from the Lashley sisters promo.
Right. That didn't really involve Sammy at first, though.
No, it didn't, but that was kind of the impetus for Sammy to get involved, because then he was going to use the sister. All I'm saying is, there's not really anything in the Bayley-Sasha feud that's been that interesting. Except, well, no, was it Elimination Chamber where Sasha kicked Bayley off or something?
It's all a big fucking. It's like a for Arrested Development fans. It's all a big forget me now blur, right? I've taken too many roofies after seeing how they treat this fucking Bayley and Sasha feud. So I forget where it begins and where it ends.
What do you think is worse, Sammy and Bobby, or Sasha and Bayley? And why is the one that you think is the worst the worst?
I'm going right now with Sammy and Lashley. It's very close, though. My reason being that they've already established the characters of Sasha and Bayley, so the fans know what to expect of them, as to where they're just shooting diarrhea all over Bobby Lashley right now, straight out of the gate. We were talking, remember how I said, I don't really have an opinion on Bobby Lashley because I didn't watch him wrestle originally. I'm new to Bobby Lashley. Remember that? Well, this is all I have to know of Bobby Lashley is this storyline, Kenny. And it's not starting off on the right fucking foot. In fact, I think it's more of a fucking handstand than a fucking taking a step. So yeah, this is really rough. I feel like it's going nowhere, similarly to Sasha and Bayley. Sasha and Bayley is a babyface program, which the notch is there as opposed to the heel, the heel and babyface storyline. So a double babyface storyline, a little more difficult to swallow in general. So I'll give them the notch there. However, we may get a turn at the end of Sasha and Bayley eventually, whenever it fucking happens, which will ultimately make it a tad bit more palpable. Not that much, but, and the other problem too, is this feud is a vehicle for Sami Zayn to get destroyed, which I am adamantly against in any situation, let alone one as stupid as this, Kenny. So that is my reasoning as to why this is the worst feud of 2018.
So I think that if MD here has watched the US version of The Office, I have an analogy that I would like to put forth about Monday Night Raw right now. Monday Night Raw is the idea that we have to sit through Jan and Michael Scott's evening before we get to dinner, which would be Money in the Bank. And it feels like it's 10 hours long to get there. Every week on Raw, she's like, why is Money in the Bank not now? Why are we still sitting through more and more of this? We do have Constable Corbin, though, which, are you telling me, though, if Constable Corbin had a wee siren and a whistle, that you wouldn't be kind of in love with it?
Yeah, if they made him a pure comedy character, sure.
Let's talk about how you can have a match that Kenny's looking forward to seeing and then just shoot it with air rifles for, like, all that it's worth, and then just, like, have it into goo disintegrating on the ground. Nia Jax faced Natalya on Raw, and Natalya ends up... Nia Jax gets the win with the Samoan drop. After the match, Natalya's still selling a knee injury. And then we have this really weird thing where Rousey and Nia are both trying to, like, sell being the pals of Natalya. Then we go backstage later on, and they're both arguing that they should be there because they're friends with Natalya. And Natalia's like... Natalia, this is my favourite thing ever. It's so fucking terrible. Is Natalya has to act, which is always a great plus point to begin with.
When Natalia... Oh, she was the best actor in the whole fucking segment.
So she has to go, guys, you know, I know you're both here for me. I just need some time alone. And then she walks off, and Nia and Ronda have to stare off into the abyss. For like what felt like 4 minutes. And my favorite thing was like Nia has developed this face where like she knows that she has to look in a certain direction for a certain amount of time, so she can just kind of look dead behind the eyes, and she's just got it. It's there.
Are you sure that doesn't come naturally with working for the WWE? Like, you know, it just fucking settles in for a little bit, and then you just go, oh, no, I don't have to act dead behind the eyes, because I fucking died behind the eyes long, long ago.
I feel like if I worked on SmackDown, I'd be fine. I just wouldn't want to work on Raw.
But then, you say that now, but 6 months from now, whenever SmackDown's shit and Raw's good again, it's just going to alternate constantly, Kenny.
Ronda Rousey here, though. She stares off into space, and it felt like she went to some sort of like class to be, you know, here is how you look into the distance, Ronda. And it's like, she's the fucking toughest woman on the planet. Don't have her pointing signs and looking gazingly away. And what was the line on commentary?
Oh, her sex bits are ripe for the picking, Kenny.
Yeah, so one of the commentators says that she's ripe for the picking, and then Ronda just says, with no, like, humour or... She's been, my husband's the only guy going to say that to me. What?
I'm gonna go home and fuck the shit out of my husband. I'm just all like, what the fuck is going on here?
Are you having a stroke, Ronda? What's happened?
Are you ovulating? Are you trying to get out of... performing by becoming pregnant? Because I know I would at this point, seeing what they have fucking in store for you. That's what I would do. Like, Jesus fuck, man, what was going on with that? And can we talk about the Ronda Rousey problem, Kenny?
Sure.
I feel like this needs its own little segment, because this is becoming abundantly clear. They're trying to completely hold her with kids gloves here, right? And nobody wants to see that. Her entire segments are just full of disingenuous bad acting and no physical confrontation. She's not working any house shows. She has she even had one singles match yet, Ken?
I mean,
has she?
first of all, that's not my name. But she has not had any singles matches. You're correct. She's had six women tags on the European tour, and she had the tag match at WrestleMania. This is her first singles match.
So she's not doing any house shows. She's not being properly trained in a ring in front of a live crowd because they are too afraid to send her out at a fucking house show to work a program where it's going to be on pay-per-view in front of a lot more people than 5,000 people at a fucking house show. Kenneth?
Can I give you my prediction for Ronda Rousey?
Go ahead.
I think before the end of 2018, it begins to tank. And I think at the last possible minute, they will make the call to a certain Jew in New York, and he will save the day.
It's got to, because I love Ronda Rousey. I think that she's a very attractive woman, but it might be just my lack of sex drive, but I don't really want to hear about how ripe her genitalia is for the picking on commentary anymore, Kenny. I'm sorry. Especially a woman saying that while having that scowl on her face. Because I'm sorry, I get like an inverse erection whenever I see Ronda Rousey do that scowl. I get scared for my life, Kenny. That's not a sex thing. You don't need to be combining Ronda Rousey's scariness with her sexiness.
You don't need
to combine those two things, Kenny. I'm too scared for it. I'm not into the dominatrixes.
What I never knew I needed in my life was I would 100%. I would. So see, before this podcast, if you'd said to me that you can watch a porn tape involving David J. McCutcheon, but I'm not getting involved in that, right? I'm not going
right,
to that.
Who would? No one would want to see that.
I end up in a register or something. However,
Now,
I know there's only one sex tape in the world that I want to see with you.
Oh, yeah?
I want to see David J. McCutcheon bring in his A-game, bring in the big guns, and I want to see David J. McCutcheon attempt to sexually satisfy Ronda Rousey.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Oh, my God. Could you imagine that, Kenny? I would need so many stimulants in my body. I would need like testosterone shots just to even like approach her level of like intensity and scariness.
Do you think is there any more polar opposite people in the world than you and Ronda Rousey?
No, absolutely not. Kenny, if you touch my belly, my abs will jiggle like a wave on a waterbed. No. She's got a fucking, she probably does 9,000 sit-ups a day, Kenny. If I do 10 sit-ups, I cry out loud. Like not even just like a tear running down my eye, like the, I was going to make a reference, but half of the audience wouldn't understand it. But a little tear running down my eye, just, you know, like the fucking David Tennant. I don't want to go, you know, like the fucking Doctor Who thing. That's me. That's me if I do fucking 10 sit-ups, right? And not even just that. I would, like, audibly sob like a kid being told that they can't have the fucking Roman Reigns action figure at the big box superstore, right? And meanwhile, she fucking – I don't think she's ever cried a day in her life. And if she did, she faked it. Just like she'd be faking the orgasms in that porn tape.
Why was I about to have to pretend to you on a podcast that Ronda Rousey wouldn't have to fake it for you? Why have we got here? Because Raw's shite. That's the message. If Raw was good, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about this. We would not need to be sitting talking about a hypothetical sex tape where David tries to run at Ronda Rousey just out of fear, and she clotheslines him down, and that's pretty much the video.
Right. Have you ever seen the movie Orgasmo, Kenny?
I've not, no.
Okay, there is a very large woman who grabs... The premise of the movie is that a Mormon tries to take up acting gigs as a side thing to make extra money, right? So he can marry the love of his life. He becomes a stand-in actor for porn. He doesn't participate in the porn, but he acts in it, right? And so he's in a scene with this very large woman who's like 500 pounds, right? And she just grabs him by the collar and she pulls him in and she goes, "You better make me come or I'm going to beat your butt." And that would essentially be me and Ronda Rousey. And I would cry and scream and run away. It would just be horrible.
So, there's that.
Physical therapy, then, and emotional therapy. I would need so many therapies.
I tell you what, though, like, all kind of rubbish booking aside, Nia apparently was a babyface this week again. I don't know what's going on.
What the fuck is going on with this? Can they make up their fucking minds once, please, Kenny?
I am still quite intrigued by the match. Because I feel like the match is, it's not going to be, there's no middle of the ground. It's either a disaster or it goes really well. I think it goes one of two ways.
Kenny, what's the over-under? I'm going to give you the over-under on how long the match goes, and then if we receive a, who wins, basically, and then if it is a clean win or not, okay? So the over-under on the match is 2 minutes. Do you think it goes longer or shorter?
Longer.
You think it goes longer than two? Okay. Will it be a clean finish?
See, part of what makes the match so good is that I'm struggling to go either way, which is a good sign. But ultimately, I'm going to go with my gut. I'm going to say a non-clean finish.
And do you think we have a new champion?
No.
We agree on all fronts. I think there's going to be interference and a DQ.
Do you know what, like, and I've said this before about wrestling, I think that's the thing that's kind of, like, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar as an example, right? At sure. WrestleMania 31, everybody was just dreading that match. Dreading it, because it was like, oh, I don't want to see it. Turned out to be a great fucking match. Really good. So, the thing sure. is, sometimes you can, there's always a way to do something well. It's just whether you do it well or not. So, I think there's a way to have Ronda Rousey not win and for it to be a really, really hot match and really, really hot story. It's just whether they're going to tell that or not.
Yeah.
So we shall see. We saw Braun Strowman versus Bobby Roode. Now, I need to ask you a question. Is Bobby Roode turning heel or am I imagining things?
He's turning heel. There's no way that he's not after this. He played the coward. He basically called Braun Strowman stupid and threw the ladder at him. He was like, ah, you're too dumb to get around that. He's definitely turning heel here.
We got the B-team winning the Battle Royal to get a shot at the Raw Tag Team titles. What did you make of the B-team winning? Any thoughts about the whole shebang?
Just fucking dreadful. What were they thinking with this? I'm sorry, and this is going to get me a whole lot of heat. Because I know how our listeners are. They love stupid shit. But what the fuck? Really, the B-team, the jobber team is going to come in, and the first team they eliminate is Ziggler and McIntyre? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The first team out in the Battle Royal is the ones who should have won? All because they need to continue this joke tag team for a fucking another week so they can lose? Or is that just going to be the thing? They're going to build it up, and then they have some sort of Cinderella story where they win the tag titles. Are you fucking joking me? What a horrible tag division that this is what we've come to. And it was so obvious that the B team was winning after they... like, if you were going to do that, because as soon as McIntyre and Ziggler got thrown out, you knew that that's who was winning. So it should have come down, if they were actually going to do this finish, as dumb and stupid and idiotic and a waste of time as it is, then it should have come down to those two teams. At least then it would have been shocking whenever it happened. Because everyone expected McIntyre and Ziggler to win. Because they're the only fucking tag team that made sense in there to win.
This Battle Royal went 10 minutes, right? You could have done a Battle Royal that lasted 5 minutes and given 5 minutes and just said to Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy, go and do some stuff.
Yeah. Anything. Like, are you fucking joking with me? Like, I like the B team. They're fine. But imagine fucking Breezango beating Drew McIntyre.
Listen, I like getting a cuddle from my mom. Doesn't mean I want to fuck her.
This is something, it's sort of like if you ask the kid, what do you want for dinner? And they just go, hot fried sundae. It's like, well, that's great, but you need a real fucking meal. You can have a hot fudge sundae every now and then, but you can't have it for a fucking dinner, Kenny.
It's ridiculous. I'm sorry. This is fucking stupid.
So from there, we get Bobby Lashley coming out. His fashion sense baffles me.
Who the fuck? Me and Val were talking about this. Did fucking Helen Keller dress this motherfucker? What happened to
him? See, he's wearing a white suit jacket, or I think you guys call it a sports jacket, with like a red t-shirt underneath, and then beige jeans, and a white baseball cap. Like, is he...
Baseball!
Is he cosplaying as Bill Cosby? Like...
The baseball cap, it was so great, because Val's all like, you know, he had like a different baseball cap, and they were like, no logos, bitch. You can't put the logos on national TV. So he had to go to like the gas station and buy a plain baseball trucker cap and wear it on national TV. This looked like a fucking tornado went through Walmart and just slung a bunch of fucking clothes at him, and he just wore whatever the tornado threw at him.
He looked like a really confused hermaphrodite.
I don't even know what that means, but...
But that's what it would be. You can't explain it. That's what this is. You can't explain it.
I don't even know.
Why does he wear a hat so often? But he never wears a good hat. Like,
why does he constantly have something on his fucking head? It's either that headband or the...
We know you're bald, fucker. We know you're bald.
It's not like he looks bad bald either.
Well, I mean, he looks 5 years old, but you know.
Well, I mean, but still, though, he's a cool black guy, right? Cool black guys can get away with being bald. If you look like me, you can't get away with being bald, Kenny. I look like a fucking child molester. He would look cool. God, it's not that fucking difficult.
The thing is, you know, when Bobby Lashley wears the kind of the jaunty caps, I'm all about it. They're quite cool, but, you know, just embrace your bald look, you know? You don't need to be wearing baseball caps, Bobby Lashley. You're better than that. Well, so anyway, they do the segment where Sami Zayn basically makes it like Lashley wasn't in the military, which just, I was cackling because I was like, this is it? Like, we saw footage of him in the military, and the angle is he wasn't in the military when we all know he was in the military.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we live in a fucking world now where the president, you know, he could literally be killing puppies. And they would go, what are you doing? And he's just like, I'm not doing that. It's fake news. So maybe that's what they could fucking have as the big angle, Kenny.
Is this just your way of getting back into Bobby Lashley supporting Trump?
I don't know if he actually did or not. I just saw it on a sign once. But
I like the idea. He was like, who do I support? Hillary Clinton did help us go into a war that we shouldn't have gone into, but Donald Trump did accompany me to the ring at WrestleMania for my biggest payday, so, you know.
A very self-serving vote, like most Republicans.
I felt like, during this segment with Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn, that I felt like I was being hit over the face with a brick, but there was nothing in front of me.
Yeah, this was just... And it was all about Twitter. Like, he's like, I liked the thing on your Twitter, and then you DM'd me and wanted me to join your fan club. And like, the whole crowd's just like, no one gives a shit.
Nobody at all.
This was fucking dreadful, Kenny. God damn it. God damn, pal.
It was very bad. Luckily, we got a Jinder Mahal promo, and he's... You know it's bad when Jinder Mahal was saving graces of the show.
Luckily, we got a Jinder Mahal promo.
Because Jinder, you know, God bless him. You know, the winds are shifting, and soon Roman Reigns will find a storm is coming, and all this sort of stuff. And then there's this really weird thing where Charlie Caruso then throws it to Renee Young, who's with Roman, and Roman said that, you know, Jinder should check his resume, and then basically he's going to come find him, and then they end up fighting again, and... Okay, sure.
I'm just
It's almost impressive how bad it is.
I need therapy, Kenny.
And you're the one who's putting me through this shit. The ITR needs to pay for my therapy, Kenny.
Listen, I'd have to pay for all of us to go to therapy. If I'm not getting therapy, neither are you. Then my favourite thing in the whole fucking show, we have a six-woman tag, Alexa Bliss with Sasha and Ember Moon, but she fucks off, against the Riot Squad, who have to all, like, move at the same pace, in the same line, because that's what makes them cool.
Now, Kenny, I have to interrupt you. I've been interrupting you a lot in this podcast. I do apologize, but I have to set out a disclaimer here. I did not watch this based on my new set of rules. Have I told you the rules yet?
No. Did Constable Corbin tell you?
No, these are better than his rules. I will no longer watch any match that has singles wrestlers participating in a tag team or a six man or woman tag or any variation of the sort unless they are actual teams or have been actual teams in the past. So, for example, on SmackDown, I watched the New Day's matches in their six-man tags because they are the New Day and a three-man unit. I will watch a Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins match because they were in the Shield together. They were a unit at one point. However, if it is a random mishmash of randomly thrown together competitors in a tag match, I will no longer watch it. So that is my disclaimer. I did not watch this match because of my new set of rules, which is fantastic. And I highly recommend that everyone partakes in this set of rules.
So here's why you made a big mistake this week. Because
I've heard and I've seen the fallout afterwards.
Bailey comes in to save the day to be Sasha and Ember's partner since Alexa Bliss fucked off, wins the match for them. And then Constable Corbin, and his, you know, absolute killjoy personality, who actually is in the right, is like, well, Bailey can't just come in and be in the match and win. So then backstage, you've got Sasha and Ember Moon, who are like basically up Bailey's arse, and like, oh, well done, da da da. And then Kurt Angle comes up and says, sorry, love, you didn't win. And then they fuck off and ignore Bailey.
Yeah, yeah. They treat it as if Bailey did something wrong, too, no less.
It was terrible. I'm not making this up. Big Show came out with the Special Olympians to talk about inclusion. Finn Balor came out to further that cause. Saudi Arabia was not mentioned. and Big Show's lost some weight. Like a lot.
Oh, man, he's looking great. Looking lean, man. I love it. And then, good on him.
And then at the end of the show, we got Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens. And I kind of tuned out because I just want Money in the Bank to happen because I'm sick of seeing all these combinations of people fighting. So, David, I come to you, and I have a takeaway order coming in 2 minutes, so let's make this kind of sharpish. What is your rating for this show out of 10, and why?
This Raw was a sharp regression because they are squandering Ronda Rousey. They are fucking off with the lack of a title or any mention of the title holder on any program whatsoever. It's like the Universal title doesn't even exist at this point. And it's just fucking lazy and terrible. There's so many competitors that no one gives a shit about. The B team winning was just a laugh in the face of actual tag team wrestling and a further confirmation that Vince does not care about the tag division whatsoever. It's all just comedy bullshit. And Breezango were way funnier than the B team, and now they're fucking off. This was just a terrible show, Kenny. I'm giving this a 1.5 out of 10. This is the worst stretch of Raw that I can ever remember in my history of watching. And they have the most talented fucking roster that they've ever had.
I love it when I say that I need to wrap this up and you go with the longest segue to your rating that you've ever done. But it was warranted. I would concur with you, a 1.5. It deserves no more. And I'm going to play us out with, imagine the WWE was a woman and she was giving you this. So there's only one way to play us out. This is Puddle of Mud with She Fucking Hates Me. Zoop,
so long, everybody.
KDMC85, Patreon, YouTube, all the usual shit. Fuck off. Bye.
Goodbye.
Met a girl, thought she was grand. Fell in love, found out firsthand. Went well for a week or two. Then it all came unglued. Been a tramp, trip I can't grip. Never thought I'd be the one who'd slip. Then I started